Hello, everyone, and welcome to Thrifters Villa, a podcast for resellers and entrepreneurs. I'm Daniela.
And I'm Lori. And today, we don't have an agenda.
We have no script. We have nothing for you today.
No, we're excited to just kind of be off the cuff today, talk about like what's on our mind, and and just catch up with you guys. It's a beautiful Sunday fall afternoon here in New England.
And the Patriots won.
Yay. And Penn State won their whiteout game.
Oh, that's right. Night. Yay, Penn State.
It was really exciting. Not that anybody cares, but it was like a big day in our house. Games are so incredible to watch the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
All sure. In their white. It's pretty cool. So I thought that maybe we could just like recap our week.
Yeah.
In brief, you know. Chit chat a little bit about what's going on, maybe talk about three things we want to accomplish in our upcoming week. Mm-hmm. And just check in.
I think the first thing we need to say is that Daniela is now monetized on YouTube.
Oh yeah. Hey, congratulations.
That's the first thing we got to throw out there. That was a great win for this past. That's been a week now. Last Sunday, I became monetized.
That is so awesome. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah. Very good day. So that's been fun. And kind of just thinking of YouTube maybe in a different way, because now there is that monetized factor, and just kind of really looking at what's working, what's not working, and kind of refining where I want to be, I guess, in the YouTube realm in terms of like content I want to produce that I see is doing well, that I enjoy doing, and kind of going from there. But I feel like it's an ever evolving process when it comes to YouTube. You're always trying to find new things and
Sure. I think the sweet spot is trying to find like what you're truly passionate about. And also what your viewers want to see and hear, and trying to match those up somehow, you know what I mean? And move forward, because I think when you love what you're doing, it really comes across. So that works for me a little bit sometimes.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give somebody just starting out on YouTube?
Stick with it. Is really the first thing, like as difficult as it may seem to produce the content, right? Every single week or even bi-weekly, however you decide to do it. And everyone is an every week thing. So people are once a month. It really depends on your schedule, what you feel like doing. But I think sticking with it and doing what it is that you feel that you're knowledgeable on, because you're just more comfortable in front of the camera in that way. When you're able to just speak about things that you know, or you feel like you know really well. And that's with anything, social media posts, podcasts. I mean, that's with any form of content. When you talk about things that you're passionate about and things that you feel like you can teach others on, it comes across that way. People see your confidence in it and I feel like they respond better to it. That's just my personal opinion, obviously. But I find that when I do things that I know I can teach the community on, those are the things that I get really positive feedback on. And I may not have thousands and thousands of views on every single video, but that's okay, because the views that I'm getting and the comments that I'm getting are meaningful and people appreciate the content that's out there. So that really means the most to me when it comes to creating content. But yeah, I think just sticking with it and finding your rhythm and groove with it, and then slowly build upon it. YouTube is definitely not a race. You know, you go at your own pace.
Yep.
And you will become monetized. It just takes a little work. It's a lot of watch hours.
It takes time. Everybody is at their own pace, and not everybody is a teaching channel, you know, but certainly whatever value you're adding, whether it's, so I think sometimes more in terms of like value, whether it's entertainment, educational, you know, humor, whatever it might be that you're offering, as long as you're adding value, and there are people out there to watch. But I think what you said about consistency is so true. I feel that way about Poshmark. I feel that way about Amazon. I feel that way about YouTube. Really, the people who don't give up, in a sense, are the people who eventually feel some success. I mean, you know, I could do a video every single day of my life, and I will probably likely never have the success that Kylie Jenner has, right? So it doesn't always equate. You know, you could put your heart and soul into something and the level of success may not be that of what you want, but the consistency does definitely pay off. And I do think if you're, you know, reading your feedback and consistent about whatever it is that you're doing. I think that the end goal, you know, you'll get there. So congrats.
Yeah.
I'm really.
Yeah. Thanks. I mean, I'm not making millions, but.
Well, no, none of us are.
No one's making millions as a reseller. Actually, the only people probably making millions would be those big time celebrities that have YouTube channels that put out like 5-minute videos about who knows whatever. And people just click on them because they're a celebrity, right? Or they're a YouTube celebrity of some sort. Those people making lots of money on YouTube, but.
Yeah, but there are people. I also think they're like, I think of like a Bailey Sarian who.
Oh yeah. Who probably
does the murder mystery
money.
Podcast. She really, it was a grind for her for a while mm-hmm. and she did the makeup and then she just found that combination of the murder mm-hmm. mystery story while she put on her makeup and, you know, it just took off and she just had the secret sauce for her channel. Mm-hmm. And now she's celebrity status, but started. I mean, as opposed to, you know, even Emma Chamberlain. I mean, she's huge now, but she didn't start that way, as opposed to like a Kylie Jenner who was kind of celebrity first, you know?
Yeah.
It is interesting. YouTube is an interesting.
It's a wild beast, that YouTube. It's wild, but it's fun. You know, I've always loved watching YouTube videos. It's always been something that I've done since I was. I'd say tail end of high school, really, into my freshman, sophomore year of college is when YouTube really started becoming a thing. Like it existed, but when you started seeing a lot of vlogging and all that kind of stuff was around that time. And so I've always been a fan of it, but to actually do it is just totally different than watching.
Oh God, yeah. When you're on the other side of the camera, it's different, but
yeah.
Well, I think that's awesome. What is your favorite style video to do?
I know I do more educational type things, but I actually like more of the off the cuff. I have no idea what I'm going to say. And I'm just sitting down in front of the camera.
Kind of like our podcast.
Just like the podcast. Just kind of my thing. I never, cause someone asked me this another time, cause they were thinking about doing a YouTube channel. Like, do you write a script? Like, what do you do? I'm like, no, I literally sit in front of the camera and whatever words spew out of my mouth is what you see on the other side. Like I don't have any type of real, like, I don't know, timeline or anything, what I'm going to say. I might have an idea of what it is that I want to talk about. I like more of like the vlog, take you around. I like that style because I like watching that style.
Yeah.
I think educational pieces obviously serve a purpose. And that's kind of like what I'm, I guess, known for in the community is like teaching people things because it is a part of who I am. But I actually like more of the spontaneous.
Whatever. Yeah, I love watching lifestyle stuff. I like seeing like behind the scenes, even though I don't do a ton of it, but I love to watch it.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is vlog style stuff is a lot of work. It's a lot
edits.
It's a lot of different angles. It's a lot of like dealing with the elements. You know, it's one thing if you're in front of a camera with lighting that's a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the doors are closed. You have some control over your environment. It's different when you're out and about trying to hold the camera, thrift, or, you know, whatever.
Cooking. Not get random people in the shot because you don't want to like cross any lines and boundaries or and someone happen to see it and then come after you kind of things. That's totally a thing. You know, you have to be careful when you're videoing and taking pictures. It's gotta
yeah.
be careful.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Oh,
yes. What's your favorite style of filming for yourself?
For myself? I mean, I don't know if it's I really do enjoy kind of exploring different brands and talking. Mm-hmm. I love storytelling, I guess, mm-hmm. is my favorite. So I really enjoy talking about a piece. Like I just feel like every piece that I pick up has a story. Yeah. Some is as boring as like, well, this was at J. Crew and now it's at the Bins. Like not everything really has
a story.
Exciting story, but especially with the vintage pieces or new brands, I really love to research and share kind of the story behind. And sometimes it's a story of how I acquired it. And sometimes it's a story of like the background of the piece has nothing to do with how I got it, but it just might be an interesting piece. So I do love storytelling. And I would say that that's kind of, I feel like there's a little bit of storytelling in everything that I do.
Mm, I would agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's fun to do like thrift hauls and stuff and give the explanation behind it. Cause I tend to do that too. Like I picked this up because XYZ and this comes from blah, blah, blah. You know, like I feel like I have an element of that too in there. And I think people are really receptive to that, especially if they're in the learning phase or they're there to learn something from you. I find that people appreciate that too. Just knowing a little bit of a backstory, whether it's where you got it from or I did research on this piece and these are the things that I found.
Yeah. I think that's why I really, for me, tapped into something for my own channel. When I started the kind of going to different places and thrifting, it was just kind of interesting to me. Like I'll show a little bit of the town, have a little bit of a story with that. And then, you know, what stores were there and what did I find there? Was it a good experience? And then sharing a little bit about the, with the scenery around, I enjoy that. So I've been doing filtering that in a little bit more with my content recently. But I mean, at the end of the day, I love a good Goodwill bins haul. I'm a haul girl. So I embrace the haul very much. It's how my channel grew and it's what I'm really passionate about. And it's what people respond to as well. So
yeah,
people like it. Some hate this week for my, did you see my sassy stories?
Which one? Because I did. Will you tag me and put Mogi and Ryan and.
Oh yeah. Well, that was like, I was actually doing that to like, just because someone wrote in my comments on my most recent haul, like I'm sick of haul videos. We want to what sold.
Yeah.
And I was just like, well, there are just so many ways you could have said that.
It was not that.
Other than this. And I didn't block or anything because I actually thought it was kind of funny. But then I was feeling like a little sassy that day. Oh, it was because her handle was Good Vibes Only.
Oh, yeah. Good Vibes Only. That's right. So hello, Good Vibes Only, if you're listening. If you're
listening. Probably not a fan of mine anymore, but that's okay. But anyway, so I shared that. And then, you know, in the next screen, I was like, if you're not sick of hauls, I actually just posted one. And then the next screen, I was like, and if you want to watch a What Sold video, and I literally just like went to YouTube and I'm like, who has put out a What Sold video that would be current? And you were one of them. So, so I listed you and Ginger Marvin and, Jack and Ryan and Mogi had all done, What Sold videos. So if anybody needed to watch one. But so I am going to film one tomorrow. I have like, I'm going to just do weekend sales.
Oh, good. I find, so we'll get off YouTube after this, but my What Sold video, my first What Sold video that I've ever done outside of the Real Real was the Poshmark one for the month of August. And it is my highest performing video by far, which is crazy. Because I actually, like, I didn't dislike doing it, but it is a little bit of work.
Absolutely.
It is a little bit of work to like, and I understand there's always going to be work involved in creating videos, but it was a lot of back-end work that went into that. It wasn't just, hey, let's just share my screen and show you all the different
that
things.
That wasn't like, one that you just pressed record, was it?
No, not really. I kind of pressed record, but then I was like going back and I made sure I picked sales. I only did 20 in the month that I shared, but I made sure I shared ones that were either interesting, high dollar amount, maybe not a high dollar amount, but a brand that maybe people should reconsider or look into more, you know, talk about blogger favorites, all that kind of thing. So, but it did require a little bit of work, but it also has more views than all my other videos. So then it's like, you know, this is where the YouTube brain comes in. It's like, okay, so maybe I should focus a little bit more time on things like this.
It all depends on where you want to go with it.
I don't know what I want to go. I don't even know what I want to do tomorrow. Never mind.
Anyways, you also have some other news. Like I'm just going to be background today because there's really
Lori's just here for fun today.
Yeah, I'm interviewing Daniela. So what else is new in your life this week?
Well, we closed our house on Friday, so that was very exciting. That's what Lori really wanted me to say. YouTube was great, but really about the house.
I'm excited about the house too. Yeah, I am.
I know. Yeah, so we closed on that on Friday, so that was exciting. That was a long time coming, and you know, now it's like crunch time to move and get everything ready for that and buying furniture and all that kind of fun stuff. I think next weekend we're going to go to the antique mall that's in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. And that has like a bunch of furniture and stuff in there. So I just kind of want to check it out and see what I can find in there for like accent chairs or like little end tables and stuff like that.
Is that where you went that you filmed the video?
No, that was in West Warwick. So that is like, it's called an estate. I don't remember the full name, estate sale something. And it's in an old warehouse in West Warwick. And I mean, that place was amazing. It was amazing, but it's like, you need to find a way to transport everything, which I think this antique mall is like that too. But I feel like end tables and stuff like that's easy to transport yourself. I mean, we have vehicles that can do that. But like big time furniture, I'd have to get a truck and then find people to help like it couldn't just be me and Matt doing it.
Movers and stuff. But I mean, hopefully whatever the price is or whatever, it makes it worth, I think there are people that do that on Craigslist.
Like
furniture.
Yeah. I'm sure you could find people.
It's just that extra step. And I'm sure the store has some people that they would refer, even if they don't have their own.
I'm sure they have a list.
You know,
Yeah, that store was awesome. I mean, if you're looking for really interesting vintage, now some stuff it wasn't even vintage, but just really interesting pieces that you're not going to find, or you are going to find in a furniture store and it's going to cost you an arm and a leg, like you can find a lot of those really unique pieces there. It was really fun to walk around. But this other place I've never been to, so I don't know what it's like. I've heard stories that it's really nice. So it's right off the highway. So I figured we can go check it out and see what we find there. And then maybe go to Restoration Hardware, go up and go to Restoration Hardware because I haven't been there yet.
Have you ever been to the, I mean, I don't shop at Restoration Hardware, the store. It's a little bougie for me. It's pretty high end, but they do have a Restoration Hardware outlet at the Rentham.
Rentham, right? Yeah, that's where I was thinking about going, is the one in Rentham.
I've bought quite a few pieces. Well, not quite a few, by quite a few. I mean, I bought my bar stools there and one other piece that escapes me, but they have some really good deals there. I love walking through there.
Yeah. If anything, just to get ideas. I think sometimes, even like yesterday, I was saying to Lori before we started recording, just walking through a furniture store starts to give you ideas of like how you can envision certain places in your house. And, you know, maybe we'll set up things a different way. Maybe we set it up this way. And I think it just gets your juices flowing kind of thing.
You can kind of apply your thrifter's brain to it because you walk through, it's almost like walking through Anthropology or looking on Pinterest and seeing what appeals to you and what vibe you like. And then you kind of go to the antique store or you go to the outlets and you try to make it work like that high end, low end sort of thing. Not that you're buying low end. I'm just saying.
No, I know.
You can get creative that way.
Yeah. That was kind of my thought process with the desk that I just bought. Yes. I just bought a desk. I'm going to have my own space for my stuff, which is so exciting. So I went on Target and I bought a desk because I don't want to spend a ton of money on a desk that literally is just going to be a laptop and, you know, a couple little odds and ends kind of thing. So, you know, I got a desk on Target. It's exactly what I saw in the furniture store that I really liked. So, you know, and I paid way less for it, you know, instead of paying $600-$700, I paid $150. So, you know, it's a cost savings.
And I feel like that's the way that I've always styled things as far as like, I'll probably have one piece in a room that I bought retail and then a couple things that I got at yard sales and restored and maybe hand me down from my mom and a picture from TJ Maxx and my kid's artwork and then maybe something high end. Like it's just like my whole life is like that, you know?
Yeah. I even with like my own wardrobe and stuff, I do that. Like, I love the really pretty nice things, but then I also don't mind going to Walmart or Target and picking up a couple of things for myself too to wear. Like I don't necessarily have to have
head to toe.
Yeah, no, I don't care about that.
Yeah, no, same.
So yeah, that's exciting. That was a really exciting thing. But enough about me, Lori. Let's talk about you.
What about?
First of all, what's your week looking like?
This week is really, I'm totally in my happy place right now because this is my favorite season. And I'm just really happy to have some structure back in my life. And Rocco, this is Rocco's first full week of school. So week one, he went on a Wednesday. So it was a 3-day week.
Yep.
Then he went back. The next week was Labor Day, maybe. Was that the second week? I don't even know. And then last week he had a half day on Friday. So this is his first full school week. Jay was in the office twice last week. And it's just like when he goes to work, I'm just super productive. When I'm home all day, I'm more likely to film when I'm home alone. I mean, I've been filming for a year and a half through the pandemic, but there's just something nice when the house is just so quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he's going to be in the office twice this week. So I'm looking forward to that. I have two friends who have requested trips to the bins, non-reseller friends, just like they've been asking me, and I think I'm going to go with one or two of them this week. So I'm definitely going to do a couple trips to the bins this week.
Nice.
I hit a really awesome rummage sale on Friday. I went twice. I went in the morning with my mom and then went back. Mm-hmm. So I definitely have some videos to film. But yeah, just back to basics, like, you know, crock pot dinners, apple picking, fall, goodness, pumpkin spice lattes.
And the weather's been, you know, it's been a little warm a few days and a little humid, but also like in the morning, it's so crisp and cool out that you can open the windows.
Oh
and
gosh.
I've it's been like everything's
out in the fan. It's been so cool. It's like, this, it just doesn't get any better in my opinion, mm-hmm. as far as like living in New England than
this
right
is the best
now.
Time.
Jay and I are like, I'm so sad. Like I can't believe it's already September 19th. Like that makes me really sad because it's just going by so fast, but
I know it is. It is. This whole year flew by. It really did. It flew by. And it's so funny that you say that because yesterday or the day before I was talking about something with my mom and I was like, wait, was that 2019 or 2020? I feel like everything blends in from the last 3 years. Like I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Everything blends.
I did my savers haul and I was like, well, PC pre COVID or BC before COVID.
Before COVID.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah. I feel like it's like a different timeline before COVID because there were milestones like, oh, that was the year we went to Italy. Oh, that was the year we did this at the Cape. Or like, I just have memories, places we went, things we did that kind of helps me remember the year that it happened. But then like COVID time when we were indoors,
yeah,
like
nothing makes sense.
Really, no, I've lost some day. It reminds me of like when I was a young mom and like breastfeeding and I just lost years of my life. Yeah. And like, I just mentally don't remember anything.
Yeah. It's just like one big blur. And I can't remember if it's 2019. Was that 2020? Was that 2021? I really don't know. Like, I feel like everything is just one big giant year.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy.
I would agree.
It is crazy. But that's good. Are you going to film any videos tomorrow?
If I'm really ambitious, so the video that I wanted to film. So, all right. So I filmed a video. It was sponsored content and I didn't really like the sponsored portion of the video. Mm-hmm. The video was called it and I'm going to do it, but I think I have to refilm it. It was called Ship List and Shop.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of like an ideal day for me.
Yeah.
When I look at like, what is like a well-balanced day for me and things like BC before COVID, mm-hmm. things that I used to do is I would wake up, I would ship, I would share my closet, ship, share, list, shop in that order.
Right.
And, you know, share my closet while I was shipping or whatever. And then I'd list like 3 to 5 items just to get the juices going for the closet, mm-hmm. for my closet. I, you know, either go to the post office or schedule my pickup, or if I just had a package or two that fit in the mailbox, put them in, and then off I would go, like shower, be out the door by like 11. And mm-hmm. then I would thrift. And this is when I had more kids at home, but I would, you know, thrift until they were coming home from school from like 11 to 2 or 3 and then come home. And then, you know, whatever happened at the rest of the day happened. But by that point I would have already done my shipping, shared my closet, right. done some listing. So I thought it was kind of a fun video because I didn't want to do a full on, this was before I got the hate on my other video, but I wasn't in the mood to do a full thrift with me. And I only had like 5 things to ship. So I thought like I could do like a little shipping portion. So I broke it down, but then the sponsored part I didn't like. So I think I have to film that video over, at least the listing part of it where I was doing the sponsored content. So that's not going to be ready for tomorrow. So I do want to do my what sold video. I don't know if I'll do it tonight. I'll wait till tomorrow and then get all of Friday, Saturday, Sunday sales to talk about. I mean, I don't know if I'll have any sales the rest of today, but
yeah, I don't have any sales today. I had a really slow weekend, but also I haven't really been doing much. So that probably has something to do with it.
Yeah. It hasn't been like a stellar month. I mean, I ran a big sale. I did my BOGO sale at the beginning.
Yeah. Which seemed to do really well, Lori.
Yeah. That was really good. But then like after that, so it's hard to say, you know, would my sales have been that great if I hadn't had that sale? Definitely really trying to push myself for the end of the year because I'm trying to, you know, hit some numbers. Like you set your goals at the beginning of the year, how much you want to make. And I'm like pushing. I also need to film. I do have a couple. I want to do a Where Are They Now video for all the stuff for my estate sale.
Good idea.
Yeah. And just so I'm going to do a What Sold video strictly from that estate mm-hmm. sale and kind of do like a wrap up, like what I made in total, where things ended up, because some ended up at Buffalo, some ended up at the Real Real. Like,
yeah.
I sent a pair of shoes to Amazon this weekend. There are a pair of shoes, Ryker, you know that brand, R-I-K-E-R. I scanned them and they worked. Like, I'm like, oh, this is something that somebody has a listing at Amazon for. And on Amazon, they were between like 85 and, well, because you know how Amazon, like you click on it and, you know, they have variations and depending on what color, what size you choose, the price varies. Right. So my shoes were like $99 and they were like older, you know, they're not like very fashionable, but you can't send shoes into Amazon unless they're like slides or flip-flops, unless they are in the box.
Oh, okay.
These were new in box with like the stuffing in the toe. They're brand new and they scanned. So I actually sent them to Amazon because I think if I were to sell them on my own, they'd probably sell for like maybe 40.
I would say it wouldn't sell for that high.
Yeah, they wouldn't sell for that high. So they're the listing's for $99 and I sent them off. So I think it'll be a fun what sold video because
that's a good experiment just to see.
Just to see how it does. Yeah. I find now like I'm walking around my house and just like scanning anything with a barcode.
See if you can send it in.
Yeah.
I'd be doing the same thing.
Yeah. Like I definitely get into like the Bolo things that people are chatting about in my little group and stuff. But I mean, at the end of the day, I'm not much of like a Bolo chaser. I'm learning this about myself. Like I'm a Poshmark seller first and Amazon a supplemental. And a lot of the people who are in this group that get me all fired up, this is what they do 24/7. So they are incredibly intelligent people and it's very fast moving, you know, but I'm just trying to like do it at my own pace.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's I have a lot of videos I need to record.
Well, you better get moving on it, lady.
Seriously. I guess I'm recording videos this week.
I don't think I'm filming any video this week. I don't think I have the mental capacity to film any videos this week.
You should do a moving into your house video.
Yeah, I could do that. Or like once I start getting the office and stuff set up and like furniture starts coming in. So like the desk will be in on Monday, I think. So, and I'm off on Monday. And so is Matt. So we'll probably put the desk together. Then I, you know, want to find a chair. I want to start finding little pieces to put in that room. So probably go to a couple of different thrift stores. I think I might take a couple other days off to venture into Boston, maybe, and look at some other thrift stores and just other stores in general and just kind of get out of my area. Cause that's always fun given where we live, right, Lori? Like it's so easy to just bounce around to different states.
State hop in New England.
Yeah. We state hop a lot, but it's nice cause we can do it in a day. Like you can leave early in the morning and you can either stay overnight or go back home. Like it's really up to you what you want to do. And it's kind of the beauty of living where we live besides the weather that we have all four seasons, we have beaches, right? We have all this culture and stuff here, but I think being able to go to different states and see what they have, because it's very different in every state. Like, yes, there are similarities, but there's also so many differences in what you can find in different areas, which is always nice.
Yeah, it's super fun.
Yeah. So I think there'll be a lot of that type of content coming to my channel. It's just a matter of me like remembering to pick up my phone and doing it while I'm in that process, because my brain will be going so fast all the time of like, I gotta do this, gotta do this, gotta do that.
Yeah. Yep.
There's a lot of that that's going to go on. I don't think I'm going to put my closet on vacation mode. I was debating on this. Like, do I put my closet on vacation mode for like a day or two? And I'm like, no, because I'm moving on a Friday. So I just won't ship Friday or Saturday and just ship everything on Monday.
I definitely wouldn't. I mean, that's just me. I mean, I'll be away for 7 days and I don't put my thing on vacation. What I do is I send a lot of messages. I mean, most of my sales come in through offers. Either I get an offer or I send an offer or whatever. And so before I accept offers, I will just say to the people, you know what I mean? Like I won't respond to offers. That's a strategy too.
Because
if you get offers like Friday morning, don't respond until as late as you can, like, so you don't offend your potential buyer or they go elsewhere or cancel their offer. But, even if you were to accept the next day, that gives you an extra day. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's what I think I'm going to do. My brain's not going to be on Poshmark, but I still need to make some extra money to buy furniture. So
that's right.
Furniture and painting and all that fun stuff. Have you had anything surprising happen in your Poshmark closet lately? Any surprising sales? Anything?
I've honestly just been in like, just get rid of it mode.
Status quo.
I have just been like saying yes to a lot. I've been declining a lot though too. I'll be honest. Like I don't have time to go back and forth with people sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like if I woke up to two lowball offers this morning. So one was on an item that was listed at 50 and they offered me 20. I countered them at 32, and they came back at 29, which was totally respectable because they came up $9. It's like, yeah, I just don't have patience. And then the other thing was an item I had for $150 and they offered me 30. That was a thank you very much decline. And I'm so bitchy. I go into their closet and immediately look at the stuff that they're selling. And it's like one $200 item after another. I'm like, girl, you know the value of this and you're offering me $30. Like, I get it. I feel like even 60% off is like, I can deal with that. But if you're coming in that low, I'm like, no, thank you. You know, especially when you have a bougie closet. Like, there are people who will send me lowball offers. And if I go into their closet and they just have like modest things or nice things that are priced modestly, I'm like, okay, this is just where your head is at. And I don't get offended. It's not that I get offended, but it's like, I open my eyes. I'm like, oh, I have two offers. I'm like, no and no.
So anyway, yesterday too, because it's been so quiet on my end and I had three offers coming back to back and I got really excited and then I checked and then I immediately got angry at what I saw on the screen. And it's just a normal reaction. I mean, we all have the same reaction when you're frustrated and you're like, really?
Yeah. I mean, the other thing you have to think about though is where you priced at. So for example, the thing that sold, the $29 item, was that little rust colored beret that I wore in my
which is super cute.
It was really cute. It was vintage. It was 100% wool and it was from France. And so I priced it at $50. I don't know. There were some priced at 60. There were some priced at 25. So it's like with vintage stuff, I don't get too offended because I don't really know where it's supposed to go.
Right.
You know, I know that it could sell high. Maybe if it were on Etsy, maybe if I, you know, modeled it or whatever, that sort of thing. But I don't really know. I sell a fair amount of vintage, but I feel like vintage is subjective.
Oh, absolutely.
If you're dealing with something that's retail for $300 and all the resale comps are $75 to $125, no, $30 is not okay on that, you know? But, so I ended up selling that beret for $29. So yeah, that was good.
I feel like that's fair though. That's
a fair totally price. Fair. I'm very happy with that.
That's fair. I oddly enough, okay. So I have two things that happened this week. One is I'm selling a ton of like, I don't know, I guess you call them like basic brands, like mall brands you can find everywhere, things that people really know how they wear, right? You can find in stores. So selling a lot of like Levi's, Michael Kors, Free People, Zara, like Good American, like things like that, right? I'm selling a ton of that stuff. A lot of denim, selling a ton of denim. Makes sense. It's fall, right? Selling a lot of boots too. But the thing that surprised me was I had this House of CB, it's called House of CB Maya pink off-shoulder blazer dress. And I got it at a consignment store. It was new at Tags. And they only wanted $12 for it because I don't think they knew what House of CB is. So House of CB, I don't really know if they sell it in retail stores. I don't think so. I think it's like an online thing. But they retail for $100 and up, basically, these pieces. And I had heard that like when you list it, you get a ton of attention on it, but I had never experienced it. I've never found it, never sold it. Yeah. I ended up listing it. It immediately started getting a ton of attention. Like, I mean, like after like after like, you know, you have certain pieces that you list and it's like just constant likes are coming in. So offers were going out, but there were no bites on it for probably about 10 to 12 hours. And then a girl who's actually lives in Massachusetts. I don't know. She's some type of influencer in Massachusetts. I ended up looking her up because I saw her photo in her Poshmark closet. And she looked like, it looked like a modeling headshot of some sort. So I was like, oh, who are you? So I clicked on her Instagram page and she's some Boston influencer. Cool. And she messaged me and she was like, I'll offer you $115 right now. I had it listed at $140. She was, I'll offer you $115 right now if you can ship it tomorrow mornings. I need it for Saturday for an event. Sold. Done. You can have it for $115. Absolutely. I paid $12. So I'm happy with that. But it was nice to sell to someone local. My first experience with the brand and it was really good. And everyone said it sells within 24 hours if it's like a piece that people are really looking for. And it did. So cool. Yeah. House of CB.
How, like the letter C and B.
Yeah. Yep. Very cool. And this is the piece. Can you, oh, it blurs it.
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah. Like a magenta sexy.
Yeah. It's a blazer. So it's like half of it, if I can describe it to everyone, half of it is a blazer and it's got the pointed collar and everything. There's a little rhinestone button in the middle, but then the middle is an actual strapless dress with like a cap sleeve on the other side. So it's like half dress, half blazer. It's really pretty.
Yeah. Like at a buy sell trade.
Yep. Extremely difficult to photograph because it's an awkward piece to photograph. So I had to use a stock image because it just didn't photograph well, but it was really pretty. So that was beautiful. My that's like, woo, great sale.
That's so great.
Yeah.
I had a fair amount of like lower sales, this week, but today I did sell, what did I sell today? That was good. Oh, I sold the J. Crew Sophie sweater blazer
that I talked about in my last
haul. I had two of those in khaki. One sold for $63 and this one sold for $65. And somebody was so sweet. They messaged me on Instagram because I kept saying, I would love one of these, but I need a large because all the ones that I've had have been extra smalls. And she's like, she told me a location and she said, they had two in larges. One was in the light jackets and one was in with the cardigan sweaters or blazers or something like that. And I couldn't get there because I was like really trying to behave myself. But now I'm like, oh gosh, that would have been, cause she's like, as of 7:30 PM, they closed at 9:00. It was there. Yes. Yeah, so I'm like, gosh, if I got there when the store opened, I could definitely get those. And then I dropped the ball. So that was sad, but I sold my, Marc Jacobs leather double strap zip tote that I picked up when Hope was here.
Yeah.
I had a Stuart Weitzman bag that sold for 200 something.
Nice.
60. And I bought this bag at the same time and it sold for 174. I sent offers for 174. So that sold today, which is great. I sold a Free People embroidered lace tunic, just somebody bought it outright for $85. Really pretty white boho. Yeah, those are my good couple of sales. Oh, and I sold, this was another full price thing, L.L. Bean men's Maine hunting boots.
Oh, nice.
I paid $5 for them at like a church thing. Really bulky men duck boots. Like, oh, I hated storing them, but they sold for $99.
That's really good.
People asking from LL Bean. So yeah, those were the biggies. And then there were a lot of like, you know, I always pick up that brand, Stars Above from Target. It's like pajama brand. I sold a nightshirt for $17. Oh. I sold the Theory Tank for $22. LL Bean linen pants that I got the bins for $15. So I had a lot of like low ones like that too. But then a couple good ones to balance it out.
Yeah. I think my best besides that House of CB, which was like a new to me thing, I sold a Zara faux suede, floral embroidered kimono type thing for $100. $100. It was crazy.
That's great.
Zara's just wild.
People are buying. People are shopping, I think, you know.
I think so too. I think there's definitely, I think people are spending more. Like people are always shopping, but maybe not necessarily spending as much. And now I feel like there's a little bit of a shift and people are spending just a little bit more than maybe they were 6 or 7 months ago.
Well, I mean, I think because people are getting out there. So they're going on vacation. They're going back to work. They're going to weddings. They're going to formal occasions. This is really interesting. I have a friend whose mother-in-law passed away, Nonna, rest in peace. I have her services tomorrow. She's like the greatest Italian Nonna. And Rocco had a real special connection with her. It's like one of his, is my good friend, Kim, who has been in a couple of my videos. Yeah. But anyway, she went to look for an outfit for services and whatnot. And they were saying how like they can't keep formal wear in stock.
That's
crazy. And things coming from China and just the whole supply chain is delayed now. I mean, they're going to, if people are thinking about, you know, Christmas gifts and stuff, like the sooner, if there are things on your kids' Christmas list, I would really encourage you to buy it as soon as possible. We used to run into this every year at American Girl when people wanted like the toy and they would come in even in November. I felt like November was too late for some of them, let alone like, you know, December, anything. But I think everything is going to be pushed back a little bit more. But she was saying that she's like, they did not have a single pair of men's dress shoes at Marshall's or at Macy's. Like she went to, no, they had to have them at Macy's. DSW was the other place she went. But she was just struggling to find dress wear. And somebody else was just saying that they were, that career wear was really flying out of their closets. I can't say that. I don't sell a ton of career wear, yeah. So it's not really flying for me. I wouldn't really know, but it's interesting that piece you just showed, that sold to the woman in Boston just definitely looked more dressy. Like that was for an occasion. That was something special.
Absolutely. Some type of event of some sort, whether it was a promotional event or whatever, it's a fancy piece, you know, that's definitely beautiful. A fancier piece. I don't really sell a ton of career wear myself. I usually send a lot of that stuff off that I find, to the Real, but the things that I'm personally selling are more so like the jeans and things that people would wear for the season that are going for day trips or, you know, like things like that. I'm also selling a ton of activewear. And I just think people have gotten so used to the idea of being in leggings all the time because of the pandemic that you just have a lot of people buying active. I think activewear has always been something that people have bought, but I feel like more people buy it now because maybe they started wearing it more and they feel more comfortable in it or whatever it may be. Maybe people are still working from home to a certain capacity. So when they're home, they wear a nice top, but they also have the leggings on underneath so they're comfy as they're working throughout the day. I just feel like I'm selling a ton of leggings and a ton of like Lulu scubas, like that kind of stuff. Just kind of like that comfy vibe.
Yeah, I think athleisure stuff is just at the point now where it's year round. I don't, everybody like gears up for January because, you know, people are making New Year's resolutions and stuff. But I have found that it's just kind of a consistent thing throughout the calendar year if you're carrying the right pieces, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think when I first went to reselling, I thought it was more of like a January thing. But the more I sell, the more I realize that if you have it stocked, it's selling.
Yeah. And I definitely think the pandemic just boosted that even more. Yeah. I did something this week. I had my first concierge FaceTime.
Oh, that's right. Surreal. Yeah. How did that go, Lori?
That was news. It was great. I loved my girl so much so that I dedicated an Instagram post to her. She was just adorable. And she was just helpful. I mean, she just walked through. So I had my pile of things that I was anticipating that I wanted to send to the Real. And she literally just went through things one by one with me and said, yeah, they'll take that. I know that's not on the brand list, but I know they'll love it. Send it in. Or that's not on the brand list and it's not really selling right now. So wait on that. You know, like she was just awesome. And she used to work at Ralph Lauren. And so she worked at Ralph Lauren in downtown. And I also think she was in Nantucket and worked there. So she was a big fan of Ralph. So most of my Ralph Lauren stuff, she's like, oh God, I love that. Send it. Oh God, I love that. Like she was great. She was young and fashionable. And I just really enjoyed talking with her. And so each piece that I held up, she just took a screenshot of it. So I didn't have to do a manifest. I didn't have to do my own list, which really was helpful. And she scheduled the pickup and they have these big giant white bags that just say the Real. It's almost looks like travel, but it's like white. It's almost like the fabric of an IKEA bag, you know, it zips all around and it's a giant square. So you can really, I think I sent off like 20, 25 pieces and they all fit in the bag. So she said yay or nay. And then I zipped them in the bag and then I didn't add a slip or anything because she had a picture of everything that went. And they picked it up on my doorstep the next day. I wasn't even home when they grabbed it. I just put it out where I put my packages. I just make the cutoff for the, you know, where they're traveling outside of Boston. And yeah, but it was great. I mean, I think what I said in my post and what really rings true for me is I can really procrastinate getting those boxes out.
Yeah.
But when I had it on the calendar and I knew I had to meet this woman, you know, face to face, so we had a call. I'm like, all right, well, gather your stuff because you're going to talk to her. And then I think sometimes too, I procrastinate because of the guesswork. Like, should I send this? Should I not send this? Are they going to take this? Like I go back and forth and I just had the whole pile and she just told me what to send in. So yeah, I'll see how it goes. Now she did say ultimately they have the final say.
Right.
You can tell me to send things that they decide they don't want or she'll say, oh, that looks great. And then they get it and there's a flaw. They're not going to accept it. So that's not the end of it all. And she may miss some stuff too. Like there may be some things she told me to not send that maybe they would have taken, but then they drop you off a new bag when they take the old one. So it just goes back in my office and I just start filming it, you know?
That's nice.
Yeah. So that was great. I think we're going to, Lulu's scraping her bowl. So I have to walk over and give her some. So yeah. So I think that is definitely going to be something that I hope to be a little bit more. I don't think, I mean, I made a few $100 last month, but I don't think it's anything to write home about yet for me, but I haven't really gotten into a rhythm with it yet.
Yeah.
Where there's always stuff there. I feel like stuff sells right away. And then if it doesn't sell right away, I feel like it just sits.
Yeah. So it depends on the piece too.
It like needs like a little refresh button. I don't know.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm getting here's the thing that, so it's funny that you bring up the Real World, because I had two interactions this week with my rep, Sophia, who I love. I love Sophia. She's so sweet. And I've had her for about a year and a half now, maybe almost 2 years. And she, I had a situation where it hasn't been resolved yet, but it's gone to higher ups and it's going to be resolved, where I got back two pairs of shoes, but they're missing, like the pair is missing this, like I have one, but I'm missing the second one on two different pairs of shoes. So I have the right foot, but I don't have the left foot. And then the other one, I have the left foot, but I don't have the right foot. And this has been like this for probably like 4 or 5 months now. And they had to like go through the warehouse and, you know, check it, whatever. And honestly, I totally forgot about it until the other day when I was packing. And I was like, oh, I still have these random two shoes that are not, that don't have its matching pair to it. So I emailed her and I was like, hey, I know this was like back in April when we started talking about this, but I never got a resolution or anything. And she like immediately sent it up the chain. And she was like, I am so sorry that you still haven't received a resolution on this. There's this woman in the management group who I was assigned to, who is now going to take care of the whole thing. And basically she said, because it's been so long, they're probably not going to find the shoe. I mean, and that's fine. I'm going to be paid out on it, on whatever was going to be listed. So not what it would have sold at, what it would have been listed at. And so they're Sue Stewart Weitzman pairs of shoes. So what am I going to make? $16 on each one. That's fine. I just want
to take the Stewart Weitzman high. That's been like one of my favorite,
which is so funny because for me, they're not priced high.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a pair. It got returned. But I sold one pair outright and I cleared like $38-$40 on them.
Awesome.
And then the second pair sold, but they were like a teeny tiny, like a size 5 shoe. They were little, they were given to me. But they were in the box new and they have them listed at 105.
Oh, because they're in the box. That makes sense.
Yeah, maybe that's why. But they're old and they're tiny. They're a tough sell.
I have a pair of Bally's vintage that they didn't accept for, I sent them 3 or 4 times. They'd never accepted them. They finally accepted them this last time and they priced them at $205 and they sold at, I think, $185, which was crazy to me. But I mean, obviously I will take it. So that was my first real situation that I dealt with this week. The second thing is I recalled a bunch of stuff with the Real. And I go right to Sophia and I literally screenshot everything. I say, okay, Sophia, I want all of these back. They're marked way too low. Like, just send them back to me. Mm-hmm. And she looked at the list and she said to me, okay, there's two pieces on here that I really want us to keep. Are you going to send them back to us? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to send everything back to you. She goes, can you please send it back really soon? Because I have a customer that's looking for this and I'm going to show it to her. And if you send it back within the next 2 weeks, let me know because she'll buy it. And it's like this, I don't remember the brand. It's some obscure brand, but their pieces go on the Real for like $500 to $3,000. And this one piece that I have, they listed at about $800 or $900. Wow. So I said to her, I said, well, you had it once listed at $850. So now when I send it back to you, what are you going to list it at? And she goes, oh, I'm going to take this piece and I'm going to list it high. Like, I'm going to make sure it gets listed at what it was listed before, because this is a very unique piece, blah, blah, blah. It's great for the holidays. So we had a nice like back and forth about it. And then she had said to me, all your stuff that's winter and fall, can I just send everything back to you? And I said, yeah, I guess. And she's like, just send it back within like a week or two, because it's going to start selling, which I thought was nice for her to even say that. She even went through all of my items for me. And she just said, I'm just going to send all the fall winter back to you. And then, because it's all marked down, even 50% off or whatever. Weird.
It's, I wish so much that there was some other way between like, think of the waste, like just like sending it.
I know.
And the waiting and the sending it back. Like, that is my biggest hesitation is, and I think we've talked about this before, like how many times do you have to send it in to finally make it sell? And then if it does sell, sometimes it will be that really high price point, right? But then other times if it sells and you make $16, well, now I've shipped this out like 4 times. Was it really worth it? You know? So, but you have a really good system. And like with me, like if I just have the bag, stuff comes back, it goes in the bag and then it goes out.
Right. Again. And then you don't really have to, that's the thing. Like for me, it's become so robotic that I don't even think twice about it. It literally, it comes in. The thing that I hate the most is that everything comes in a duster bag, which I understand is what they do, but it's like, I have so many duster bags at this point. I don't even know what to do with them anymore. Like I use them when I package certain things or when I have certain sales. I used them when I was moving. Like I put some things
in. I wonder if you sent them back to them and just said, recycle these.
I could do that too. I never thought about that actually, but I could do that too. Just send it back.
Good way to store your handbags.
Yeah. Yeah. I have that too. I have them for storing my handbags, but I have so many, like the ones for coats and stuff I've kept for myself and I hang my coats in them. So that's nice. That's just what I do. I literally get it. I open the box, take everything out, put it back in, tape it. Off it goes. Like, I don't even think twice about it. There's a couple of times I'll look at some of the pieces and say, you know what? I'm just going to sell this myself, or I'm actually done with this. And this just wasn't a good buy. And I've noticed at this point, it's not a good buy. And then I do whatever I want with it, throw it up or donate. So I definitely sometimes have to review a few things, but for the most part, it's mostly like unpack, pack, see you later. It will be nice though to have, I can't do this with a real. I don't think they do pick up in Rhode Island yet, but for USPS for my packages now, I can start doing pickup at home and I don't have to worry about dropping anything off. I know, it's going to be a game changer.
It's so nice.
So I'm excited about that. Because I guess we don't think about it sometimes as a reseller, how many steps there are. And this is a good point, Laura, you bring up. How many steps there are when we're doing all these different things and how much time we're actually putting into all these different tasks that we're doing for our business, even something like the podcast, where maybe it's an hour and a half of our time, but it's still time that we're putting into it, right? And with the Real, it might only take you 10 minutes, but now you need to go somewhere and drop it off, or you're waiting for the guy to come and get it. Like there's a lot of factors, a lot of different things that we do. And I think sometimes you have to sit back and really think about, okay, is this really worth, even if it is 10 minutes, is this really worth the 10 minutes of my time when I can be doing
it? Well, I think as your business grows and you're aiming for like the multiple streams of income, whether it's, you know, whatever, all the stuff we talk about, YouTube, Poshmark, Real, consignment, like all that stuff really does take time. So you have to kind of take a step back and see where you want to, what you want to nurture. Cause I really believe that whatever you put your time into is what's going to grow, to the point back to YouTube in the beginning. Like if you're consistent with the Real, you're going to make money on the Real. You're going to figure stuff out. You're going to figure out brands that they want. And if that's the model you want, you're going to make money. If you want to start making money at Play-Dohs, I suck at Play-Dohs.
Oh, like, I suck at Play-Dohs too.
I just got to the point where I'm like, I might as well just donate this bag because they're not going to take half of it. I mean, you know, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but not really. Like,
I would say not really, because they really don't take much of anything. And if they
do, what they do take, they're giving you $3 or $4. Exactly. I'm like, this wasn't even worth my gas to get here. Exactly. So I am trying to look at things much more critically from like that standpoint to see what is worth my time, you know. And I think that's with any business, just anything, like where you want to focus it. So yeah, I think it's a good thing to keep an eye on if with the Real and stuff like it. But I will say, with the concierge thing, having the FaceTime, having them pick it up, not having to do a manifest, not having to guess what I should send, what I shouldn't send, like just kind of having somebody like use their brain to figure stuff out for me. Mm-hmm. It's just one less thing I had to think about. Mm-hmm. So it was really nice. And she'll follow up and, you know, I really enjoy, they do in-home ones, but to me, I'm like, that would just stress me out. I don't need to
I don't need you coming to my house.
Yeah. Like let's do. And initially I didn't realize, I thought I was scheduling a pickup, like a porch pickup, but it was like an in-home consult. And she messaged me that morning and she's like, I'm having car trouble. Do you think we can just do this virtually? And I was like, yes, please. Like, meanwhile, I'm sitting there with like no bra, no makeup. I'm like, oh my God, if this chick showed up at my house, I would have died.
Oh my God. Yeah. Here's just this girl from the Real showing up. Mm-mm. Yeah. No, that would have
been sorely disappointed. And you know, I'm sure they go into some amazing homes.
Oh, like, I'm sure they do. I'm sure they go into celebrities' homes all the time. And they're like,
just crazy donate designer stuff. And for me. I would have been really boring.
So. I thrifted these pieces. So
I did tell her my business model and we followed each other on Instagram and
my rep knows what my deal is too. And she loves it, you know, because for them it's inventory. I mean, they don't really care. They don't care how they're getting it. It's inventory to them.
Not at all. Nope.
All right.
She was trying to convince me to send in my Salvatore Ferragamo bag. I'm like, I'm not ready for real, real payouts on my Ferragamo.
Yeah.
Maybe I will.
Well, I mean, does Fashion File take it? Did you ever look into that, Fashion File?
You know, I messaged Fashion File on my, what was it that I, oh, on the.
Avon?
Yes. They never got back to me. They said, we're reviewing it. I literally followed up and checked my email and they never sent me an estimate back.
But did you go in your account and check to see if it's there? Because sometimes I don't get an email that it's done.
It's just like in your account, like they don't send you an email. Oh, then no, I haven't. I've just checked emails.
Check your account and see, because they may have updated it in there. And then you have 30 days, I think, from when they do it. And then you can accept it or you can decline it and you can do whatever you want with it just to see. Or they'll tell you flat out, like, no, we're not going to take this right now. And they'll tell you why. Yeah. So. Get a little peek. Maybe you'll see it in there that it was accepted.
Where do you go? My account?
Yeah. And then you'll say like my, and then there's a thing in the dropdown.
Dashboard alerts, my sales following.
Maybe it's my sales. I don't know. Maybe
your sell?
Quotes. Isn't there one about quotes? I got to say.
Yeah, to submit an item for quote, which is what I did.
If you scroll down there, does it show you the different quotes you have?
A virtual appointment, white glove pickup, and find a selling location.
Gonna do this with you. Dashboard. Hold on. Gonna do this with you. Signing in. Please hold, listeners.
My items?
My account. Dashboard. Let's see. Do they change active quotes? If you go to my account and then you go to dashboard, then you'll see my active quotes. I don't have any right now. So it says zero. What does yours say?
Zero.
Oh, did it not go through?
Yeah, it did not.
Well, that's not good. So you need to put that back in there. Yeah. Then if I click my past quotes, it shows me my products that I've sold. So I sold Chanel shoes. They gave me 300, which was really good. Louboutins, they gave me 275. The lambskin Dior bag that I got on Poshmark, they gave me 375 for that. So, but they're very picky. So if you're listening to this, they're extremely picky.
Yeah, trying to log in. I'm not going to bore people and do this while people wait, but I'm thinking, I wonder if this is like my original Gmail address.
Did you put it under a different?
It might be under Lori's Boston Found. So that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Because it could be that it's under a different account and then you would just sign in with that account and then maybe it's there.
Active quotes. I have
one. There you go. What do they say, Lori?
Look at this.
I want to know.
We're sorry. We can't accept this. That's what they said.
There you go. They don't want it.
That's interesting.
They don't want it.
Thank you for considering Fashion File. At this moment, we cannot quote your item due to its low historical resale value. We apologize for the inconvenience. And look forward to it. Interesting.
So maybe they just don't have enough data of it selling it on their platform or just on platforms in general. I'd be curious to know how they look at that. Like, is
I mean, it's not like a Chanel or a Louboutin or, you know what I mean? It's a more obscure name, even though it's
very old French brand.
Yes. So, well, there you have it. Well, now I know. Thank you. That was helpful.
You're welcome. Anytime. Well, I guess we'll wrap it up here. Hopefully we didn't bore you guys to death, but this is like Lori and I's time to just chat with one another. So take it or leave it.
Yeah. Well, all right. Good luck with everything this week. Have a great week. I hope everybody has a productive week and enjoys the fall weather, if it's fall-ish where you are.
I know. What's it like on the West Coast? What's your weather like right now on the West Coast?
It's cooling off. Nice. It's cooling off. I have two friends who I talk to pretty regularly on the West Coast, and it's starting to cool off. They're happy. But I mean, some of them, so they're also having fires in California, which is unfortunate. But good luck with your move.
Thank you. We'll chat, Lori. Don't you worry.
All right, everybody. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey everyone, thanks so much for listening to this week's episode. This is just a reminder that Thrifters Villa's Patreon is officially live. You can find us on patreon.com/thriftersvilla. It is just $5 a month where we're going to offer you bonus content, extra episodes, a free downloadable a month, and live events. So make sure to check us out there, and we will see you next week.